Okay, we're going to go to Acts 18. Book of Acts, chapter 18. You say, well, we've already done that. Yeah, we did. But the Lord brought something else to me, and it was like, okay. So, I got 8 pages of notes. We may be here till, let's see, 7:38. I'll try to be done by 8:15, but no, we'll see. freedom in the will of Christ. That's an important thing for us. Freedom in the will of Christ. And we're not going to read back over the whole chapter of 18, but Paul went to Corinth and then he ended up going to Ephesus. But before he went there, verse 21 is what I want to read. And then we'll go from there. It says, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. Now this is where the whole thing come in at. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. He left. He had been there about 3 years. And now, our lives, honestly, should be, really and truly, should be lived in the will of God. Now, the will of God is not like a wall. It's not a like a cage built around us. It's more like a bridge. And we shouldn't think of the will of God as like a prison or a wall around us. We should really think of it as a bridge that will lead us to different things. When you look at Paul, you look at Apollos, as we've been reading. You look at Aquila and Priscilla. Listen, they were not walled in. They were not captive. They traveled all over. You've got Paul traveled, Aquila was traveling. Aquila and Priscilla had been in Italy. They left there and ended up in Corinth. They left there and ended up in Ephesus, went to Rome, and then back to Ephesus again. Apollos, when you read about him in here, he was in Corinth. He was over in Ephesus. He was from Alexandria. When you think about that, they were not walled in. They traveled. As a missionary, I've been several places. One of the main places that I went and really had a good time was Central America. We went down to Belize. And so you're not. It's not like being walled up or captive. The will of God is really, it's a bridge, and it opens doors up for us. And basically in our lives, so that really and truly that we can fulfill God's plan for us. Now, there's 3 freedoms really that we need to look at. And I wrote all this down, whether or not I'll remember it all or even look at it and see, I don't know. But that, in other words, we have 3 freedoms that we have in the will of God. God wants us to experience and enjoy these freedoms. He wants us to enjoy life. God does not sit up there in heaven and say, they've got to sit like this and they've got to be this certain. That's really not what it is. That's teachings over the years, but God doesn't put us into captivity. He has opened a door really wide for us. Now, we've been set free from sin. We were set free through the power of Jesus Christ. Does everybody in here tonight, do you know the Lord is your Savior? All right. In other words, if some guy walks in back here tonight with a machine gun and takes us all out, then I'll see you in heaven whenever I wake up. Miss Betty's like, bye. All right. I could ask if you're ready to go, and it's like, yeah, and well, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm not jumping up and down out in the highway, but nonetheless, I'm ready to go whenever the Lord wants me to go. So we're free from sin and from its penalty. Romans 3:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, I want to explain something to you, and I've said this before. We are living, if you're saved, you said you were here, you're here tonight, you said you were saved, you know you're going to heaven. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're not waiting on eternity. You are already living eternity. You've already started that. From the day you got saved, you've started your eternal life. Yeah, we're going to pass from this old earth, but nonetheless, we're not going to just cease to exist. We're going to go into a realm that we haven't been before, but the Lord's taking care of us, and we're going to be with Him forever. Now, really, one of the freedoms that we have in the Lord is the freedom to be. And really, that freedom is to be who you are. And you think, well, who I am. Really and truly, God saved you for who you are. When you got saved, there wasn't, you looked in the mirror one Monday morning, and then Tuesday you got saved, and you looked in the mirror Wednesday, and there was a totally new person there. No, He saved who you are. In other words, we are who we are, and you know, people say, I'm not conforming to the, you got people that, they'll say, I'm not going to conform to the churchgoers. I'm not going to be like adults, especially young people. Young people have it set in their mind, we're going to be different from adults. We want to be different from them. They're going to wear their hair different. They're going to look different. It's been in every single generation that's ever been on the face of this earth. They get this idea, we're going to be different from everybody else. And what they end up doing is they're different from their moms and dads, but they're just like everybody else in that generation. So in reality, they're not really different. They just think they are. And I guess that's okay, they think they are. But nonetheless, they get this idea that they're not going to change. They're going to be different from everybody else. But you know what? God wants us to be us. Not someone else. I'm not supposed to try to act like Brother Jose. He ain't supposed to try to act like me. We're supposed to be us. We're supposed to be, now, there's four people that we mentioned. There's Paul, there's Apollos, there's Aquila, and Priscilla. They were all saved people. Now, Apollos wasn't saved right off, okay? When we first meet Apollos in here, Apollos was not a saved man. But Apollos was who Apollos was. Paul was who he was. Aquila and Priscilla was who they were. Paul was what? Paul was a great theologian. If you look in the Bible for somebody that was a great theologian, Paul would have to be it. If you look in the Bible for somebody that was a great missionary, Paul would have to be the man. That's just what you would, when you see him, it would be like, that would be him. Somebody describe Paul, that he, a person that traveled around, didn't matter what he met, he was bold in everything he did. He didn't seem to have a lot of fear. That would have been Paul. Started churches, wrote letters. That would have been Paul. Now, Apollos. We read about Apollos. He come from Alexandria. He was a very educated man. He was eloquent in his speech. I like that word. He was eloquent in his speech. In other words, you know, he could draw a crowd and he could get attention from people. That was a good thing. He wasn't like Paul. Paul wasn't like him. They were going in the same direction. Although Apollos wasn't quite sure what all he was doing, he just didn't quite have everything, which we're going to get to that in a minute. But nonetheless, they were different. And that's what the Lord wants. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians. Hang on to, where was we at? Acts 18. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just flip over a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, they were two different kinds of men. What did I tell you? Apollos showed up with great speech. He was eloquent with what he was doing. He had eloquence in his speech, and maybe he carried himself very eloquent. I don't know how you would carry yourself eloquent. Maybe he was kind of like, oh, and maybe he had a big robe, and I don't know. I wasn't there. But now look what Paul says in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. In other words, Paul, when he came, Paul walked in. He didn't use the big highfalutin words, although he was a very educated man, especially in the Word of God. But Paul didn't do that. Paul came in, and I'd say he preached probably pretty loud. I would imagine he preached pretty bold. You know, he probably told them, look, you guys are living under this law. You guys are worried more about Moses than you are God. And you're going to die and go to hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ. By the way, who you slain? Or slew. I should have said it that way. I don't have great speech. And so Paul approached in that direction, but Apollos approached with more eloquence. You know, he may have said, oh, ladies and gentlemen, you know, he may have approached it in that manner. I don't know if he had an English accent or not. No, I believe he's speaking Greek. But I can't speak Greek, so I know where some good Greek restaurants are, but... Nonetheless, they were different men. And that's what God wanted because, listen, people listened to Paul. When Paul preached, people listened. When Apollos preached, people listened. Now, Aquila and Priscilla, it says they were tent makers. It says they followed Paul around a little bit. Paul thought very highly of them. He mentions them several times in the Bible, I think in Romans and then over in Timothy. He mentions Aquila and Priscilla. They were very special people. God was using them. They were tent makers, which worked out really good because Paul was a tent maker. And they joined together and worked together, and then Paul moved into their home. They opened up their home to him. And later on, you find they opened up their home to other people. They had the hospitality. In other words, God calls all people. He may call a military person. You get saved. He may call a postman or law enforcement or somebody that works on fire hydrants. It's whatever. God calls all of us and He draws us all, and if we accept, listen, we got saved, and it doesn't matter. You don't need to be someone you're not. You need to be who you are because the Lord uses us for who we are. It didn't say Aquila and Priscilla were, you know, top-notch, been to all kind of college. No, but it spoke just as highly of them as it does Paul, as it did Apollos and Peter. You think Peter was a really educated guy? I don't think so. Peter was a fisherman. He made a good living, no doubt, because he owned his own home. But Peter, Peter was saved. But yet the night they arrested Jesus, Peter jerks his sword out and cuts the guy's ear off. You know, Peter was like, hey, let's jump in. Oops, is there any water in the pool? You know, after he's in the air. You know, but that's what God called. Then you had John and James. He called them the sons of thunder. And I think it was because they were loud. And also they were out one day and they jumped the gun on things. They were out one day and some people wouldn't accept Jesus for who he was. And James and John, they were brothers. And they looked and said, do what Elijah did. Call lightning down. Devour them. Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. But Jesus called them for who they were. He didn't say, I'm going to change your character, James, Peter, John, Paul, Apollos, Aquila, Priscilla. He didn't tell them that. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's what he told them. He said, you're going to be fishers of men. I'm not going to change who you are. Because sometimes there needs to be this type of person. Sometimes there need to be that type of person. And that's what he was doing. God uses a great missionary. He used an eloquent, educated man from Alexandria. And he used a husband and wife who were tent makers. Now, God wants us to be like Christ. He don't want me to mock people I know. Listen, I know some great preachers. I've listened to some great preachers and I'm like, wow, man, if I could preach like that. Ooh. I've been in revivals and guys preach and everybody comes to the altar and all the pews are left empty. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Jeremiah probably thought that. Jeremiah, I don't forgot the number of years now, but Jeremiah preached for years. And nobody ever changed. Wonder how he felt. You know, probably, but what you have to do is we have to remember, listen, God calls us for who we are. Our character, the way we are. He don't want us to be like everybody else. He wants us to be like Christ. Be you. In other words, be you in Christ. Destiny don't need to be like Ramona. She needs to be like Destiny in Jesus Christ. Is there going to be some changes? Sure there are. Let God do the changing on the inside. Don't get the idea. Well, I used to know a young guy, and I knew this other guy about my age, and he was a preacher, and the young guy was a preacher. And I watched, and the young guy, man, when he would preach, I'm like, you know, other than the voice, he's just like the other guy. But everybody noticed that. I knew another guy did the same thing. He copied after another fellow, took on the way this other fellow was because he thought, well, that's the way a preacher's supposed to be. God didn't call them to be these other people. God called them to be them and to present the word. And they figured that out. Took them a little while. But God wanted them to be who they are. See, I know some great leaders, but I don't need to be like them. I may need to take heed to what they're telling me. I need to take heed to their preaching because, listen, they got good preaching. They're preaching the word. God is using them in a mighty way, and I need to listen to them, and I do. But you see, we have freedom to be who we are. Go back to John, back up to John chapter 1. It's right after Luke. I'm talking right after Luke. John chapter 1 verse 12, or you can write it down. But John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Listen, when we got saved, we're born of God. We don't need to worry about what everybody else thinks. We need to worry about what God thinks. And we need to work on being like Christ. Don't be ashamed of yourself. You ever looked in the mirror and thought, oh heavens. You ever just been down on yourself? You know, man, I am just useless. I am horrible. I can't even believe a saved person would do what I've done, thought what I've thought. Let me tell you something. God don't make junk. And guess who made you? God did. What, none of his hats that I know of. Avery did not come from a monkey, even though he acts it. But guess what? God made him the way he is. And he's not junk. We're not junk. Listen, don't be ashamed of yourselves. God, by the way, has a purpose for you. Now, don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of what you look like. But now you can be ashamed of what you do. Amen. You can pray about it and say, you know, I need to fix that. But you're fixable. You ever heard the saying, something's attacking me. I don't know what that was. But anyway, money falling from the ceiling or screws. You ever heard the saying, ugly forever, but you can fix stupid, or is it the other way? Yeah, you can't fix stupid, but you can fix ugly. Listen, you can fix all of it through Jesus. That's true. A little paint helps an old barn. Belt will work stupidity slam out of a child. It will. It's fixable. You know, every now and then I look in the mirror and think, boy, I could use some paint, but then people would look at me funny. You know, it's like, wow, what's these brown looking spots I'm getting? Oh, that's angel kisses. Yeah, it might have been when I was about 9, but I don't think so now. I think they call them, what do they call it, Brother John? Age spots? Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. But you know what? God can fix us, and we need to be happy with who we are. We may need to change a few things, but don't be ashamed of yourself. God has a purpose for you, and you have the freedom to fulfill that purpose. If we're saved, we have that freedom to be whatever we want to be in Christ Jesus, if we'll do that. That's what Paul did. That's what happened with Aquila and Priscilla. Same thing that happened with Apollos. We have freedom to do. Paul did things the way he wanted to in the will of God. How you like that? Yeah, you know, I can do anything I feel like, go anywhere I want to, and stay out as long as I want to, as long as my wife agrees. Actually, I can do pretty much anything I want to in the will of God. We can. We got the freedom to do. We have liberty to do things. Let me read you something. Well, here, we'll go over here. Go to 1 Corinthians, back over there. We're going to jump around a little bit. 1 Corinthians, just here somewhere. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 12, Paul said, all things are lawful unto me. Wow, that opens a big door, doesn't it? Opens a big, huge door. Now, let me explain something to you. God gives us common sense. I don't have to sit here and tell you what sin is. You know what sin is. But as a saved person, now I got to be careful what I'm going to say. I want you to listen closely. As a saved person, I can walk in any nightclub I want to, any bar I want to. I can go to any country I want to. I can do most anything I want to, short of what I know what sin is. Are you following me? Paul says all things are lawful. Now, we're going to cut out the adultery. We know that's sin. All of those Ten Commandments. But I can do these things. It's all lawful to me. But Paul says, but all things are not expedient. Really, that word means profitable. It's not always profitable. It's not real profitable for me to drive down here a few blocks on the way to the Chevron, to Terrible's, and stop at the liquor store to get a bag of ice. It's lawful for me to walk in there and do it. It ain't no big issue. I ain't got a problem with it. I can go in there and buy my bag of ice and walk out, and it don't affect me whatsoever. But it ain't profitable because Chanel, back there, she may see my truck parked out in front of the liquor store, and by the time it gets to Brother John or Brother Kevin or Brother Jose, well, I saw him come out with four bottles of Jack Daniels and two tequilas. And on taboo, had a blonde with him, and his wife ain't blonde last time I looked. Trust me, she ain't. I know what I married. But it's not expedient for, it's not profitable for me to do that. You see, and we need to be careful about that. But let me say this, and this is gonna, I don't know, we'll see. I almost hesitate to say it this way. Don't live by rules. Now, there's some people in here need to live by rules. But not everybody needs to live by rules. Come here, Lucy. This one here, she needs some rules. She needs boundaries. She's figured out that you don't touch pop stuff. She'll look at it and then she'll look back at me because she knows. And I'll say, no. And she'll walk away. You see, she's got to have some rules. Not to mention she's got to have some boundaries. You leave the front door wide open, she'll make a 9-0, never stop, run wide open into the middle of the street and stand there. She needs something. You see, but as we grow in the Lord, we're going to have less rules. Does that make sense to you? We are really and truly, we're to live by principles. As Christians, we should live by principles. And as we grow, we start figuring this out. Now, I'm not going to tell you that everybody in this room that's saved don't need certain rules. But nonetheless, we all need to be living by principles to start with. You see, Paul took a Nazarite vow. We got to go back into Acts real quick. Verse 18. It says at the end, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Paul took a Nazarite vow for whatever reason. It wasn't a very strict one, but he did. He took a vow, he shorned his head, and that was, by the way, voluntarily. See, that was a voluntary thing. He done it of his own accord, in other words. We don't live by the law, we live under grace. See, the law was a set of rules. We live under grace, which is living by principles. We're gonna make it a little more clear as we go. Let me give you an example I wrote down. If I go to a church and they say, you got to wear a black suit, white shirt, and black tie, I'm going to be like, is that a rule? Well, yeah, you've got to. I'm going to say, well, you're going to be minus a preacher because I ain't going to do it. But now if they said, you know, our preacher always wears a black suit, white shirt, and a black tie, and he never cowboy boots. And all our other preachers are the same way that come here. And I look at them and say, well, is that a rule? Well, no, but, you know, that's just the way the standard's always been. But it's not a rule. You can preach in however you dress. Oh, okay. Guess what? I'll make sure I got a black suit and a white shirt and a black tie, and I probably won't wear my cowboy boots. Because it's not a rule forcing me to do something. I'm living under grace. I'm not living under the law. Don't think. There's a song Willie Nelson sang, and what's that dude? Just died the other day. I'll think of his name in a minute. They sang a song, and it's called Don't Fence Me In. It's an old... See, when we got saved, we're not fenced in. We're to live by principles. In other words, we had the freedom to give up our own rights. Let me give you an example. Fasting. The Pharisees said, how come your disciples ain't fasting? They're supposed to be fasting. You see, the Pharisees, you got to fast. You got to wash your hands X amount of times a day. You can't be eating corn on the Sabbath. You see, they nailed all these things down and they lock you down into rules that they couldn't even keep themselves. Jesus said, when I was nailed on the cross, he said, I took all them to the cross with me. Got rid of all them special days, special dietary. He got rid of all that. You see, I can fast. In other words, if I want to, I can say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to eat beef for the next month until I get an answer about the prayer that I'm praying about. For me to ask my wife how many times a week I eat beef, pretty much every day, if not three meals a day. But see, I can do that if I want to, but I'm not going to have somebody tell me you've got to fast. Because now I've taken away my liberty. I've taken away what Jesus did for me. Am I making sense? Hopefully I am. You see, it's not a must like the law. In other words, we have the freedom to do things. Basically, we need to move on from kindergarten and graduate. That's really what Paul has been saying throughout the whole Bible. He says, hey, you need to get out of this stage that you can't do this, can't do that, can't. That's what the Pharisees did. He said, you've got liberty through Jesus Christ. You're not a slave anymore to sin. You've got a choice. You see, before I got saved, I didn't have a choice. I thought I did, but I didn't have choices. What I had was, I was serving a master. His name is Satan. Once I got saved, now I have a choice. I can serve Jesus. I didn't serve the flesh. I didn't serve the devil. I've got a choice to make. I have that liberty. Before I got saved, I didn't have that liberty. Now, if I decide, hey, I'm going to do this. Oh, I know Jesus don't like that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Well, I may have to pay for it. But I've got that choice. I can make that choice. You see, we need, in other words, we don't need the don't do this and don't do that. We need to live by principles. Paul didn't do what others did, but he sacrificed. And he sacrificed so he could reach all people. Paul didn't become a drunk to get the drunks saved. He didn't become a Pharisee to get the Pharisees saved. He didn't. Paul was just, he says, you know what? I can fit in. I can live in this group. I can live in that group. But I want them to see Christ in me. You see, that's what we're supposed to do. Self-discipline really is what we need. I won't do this. Let me ask you a question. Why do you not sin? Is it because, well, God says, be sure your sins will find you out? Or, see, there's several ways to look at this. Ethan, he messes up. Is he worried about getting caught and dad's going to bust his hind end? Because I know he will. Or is it, I shouldn't do that, not because dad or mom may hurt me, but it may hurt mom and dad. That's what it should be. I shouldn't push away from sin because, well, I may get caught and I'm not sure what God will do. Listen, God already knows. He ain't going to catch you. He already knows. But I should not sin because of what it'll do to God. It hurts him. You see, that's the way children ought to be. Children ought not, when mom and dad says, don't do this, don't do that, and don't do that. You shouldn't not do it because of the sole fact that that's what he said. It ought to be because, well, I don't want to hurt him, and he asked me not to do it, so I'm not going to do it. You see, that's really and truly the way it needs to be. It may hurt you and it may hurt others. These things are common sense, really. You see, when I wonder, what can I do as a Christian? I'd pretty much do whatever I want. But some of it's not profitable because why? It may hurt someone else. And it may hurt a loved one. And I know it hurts God. So that should keep me doing it. If I go to the bar, drink a Dr. Pepper or an Arnold Palmer. I like Arnold Palmers. If I go to the bar to drink an Arnold Palmer, is it going to hurt me? No. But is it profitable for me to go hang out at the bar and drink an Arnold Palmer? No. Because someone may see me and it may hurt them. So when I don't do things that are lawful to me, it's because, well, I don't want to cause somebody else to stumble. I don't want to cause them to fall and not get it right with God. Oh, freedom. Now here's the last one. Freedom to grow. See, we got freedom to be. That's important. Be who we are. We got freedom to do the things really that are profitable. If you want to look at it that way. Profitable for what? For other people to see Christ in us. And we got freedom to grow. You see, if we live by rules, rules and regulations, it's hard to enjoy life. It's hard to enjoy anything. Now some, like I mentioned, some need rules. But as we grow, we're going to need less. You see, take a babe in Christ. A babe in Christ, one that's not, they haven't been saved long, they haven't been studying the Word of God long, they're going to be like Ethan. Ethan knows there's certain things he can do, there's certain things he can't do. He's got a set rule. Avery's got set rules of where my children, when they were growing up, they knew how far they could get from the house. They knew where they were not supposed to go. But after a while, I opened the door a little wider, and they didn't have to stay right here. Now they could go that extra block, but they understood why. And then sometimes they didn't even go that extra amount because it was like, well, I'm too far from the house, I'll back off. They were using their brain. They were gaining knowledge of why mom and dad put the rule. Why don't you need to go down by Gypsum Creek? Because Gypsum Creek flowed pretty good. And you fall over in there, there's an opportunity that you, there's a possibility you may drown. So they weren't supposed to go there. When we would get out at the, in the desert, we'd go out in the desert a lot in Grand Junction, and they'd take off. I'd just head out, get, go. And they'd run and play in the rocks, but if I whistled, bang, they come to a dead halt, turn around and looked. Because they knew, something's wrong, dad just whistled, I got to stop. Because I'm helping them to understand, look, there may be something you don't see that I do. You see, that's the way we need to be with God. But you see, as we grow, we learn these things. The Pharisees, some people use this growth as, well, I'm so spiritual. Hey, the Pharisees were spiritual. At least they thought they were. And they had lots of rules and regulations. Rules don't make it spiritual. Now, Apollos, he was an educated and learned man, but he didn't know the whole truth. You see, the truth will set you free when you know the truth. But he didn't know the whole truth, and to be honest with you, Aquila and Priscilla, they done real good. You see, we taught or we teach our kids the same way. We don't always get everything at one time. Listen, if God threw everything on me 11 years ago and said, here it is, get after it, it'd have blew my mind. There's so many things I've learned over the years and the Lord's opened my eyes to that if I'd have understood it, if it had been thrown in my face back then, I'd have said, whoa, what? You see, it comes in stages. We allow our children, as we raise them, you can do this. Next year, they can do this much. The next year, they can do a little more. That's the same way God does us. God moves it in slowly. And he gives us what we need slowly. Matter of fact, he said, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is sent, and he's going to tell you things and give you guidance. He said, he actually told them, he said, hey, there's so much I want to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. And that's true. We can't. We got to have it a little slower. The blind man that the Lord healed, he said, what do you see? Oh, I see trees look like men. Well, then he went a little further with him. He said, now what do you see? Oh, I see it all clear. I see the man over here in the trees. See, he didn't get it all at once. We get saved, you get all you're going to get from the Holy Spirit, but the growth comes as we study the Word of God. You see, that's what happened with Apollos. Apollos was preaching. All he understood was John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said there's a Messiah coming. Now, how in the world this man missed out on Jesus dying on the cross and raising from the dead, I don't know. But that's all he understood. And Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and said, listen, there's a little bit more you need. You've got three of them right. You need the fourth one. We serve a living God, not one that's coming. We serve the Messiah that has came and died on the cross for our sins. And now he's in heaven. That's who we're serving now. And that's who you need to trust now. And you see, he got saved. And then he went on and done a whole lot more. But we need to remember something when we're informing people. Listen, Apollos was a humble man. He didn't get all bent out of shape. When Aquila and Priscilla took him to the side, he didn't get all bent out of shape. He listened to them. We need to remember that. We need to be humble enough in our lives that we will listen and understand what people are trying to tell us. Colossians 4, 6, and I can't quote it, but we need to make sure that our speech is seasoned with salt. That's what Aquila and Priscilla did. They didn't take him and say, hey, you've done it all wrong. You ain't telling it. No. I'd say they took him home, fed him some lamb chops, talked with him a little bit, you know, had a good barbecue. And then they said, now, listen, you believe in it, you're going in the right direction, but you need to know what Jesus has done, not what he's going to do. And then you can teach people that. You see, all he knew was John and his baptism, but he found out that we serve a living Christ. You see, if we'll keep learning, then the Lord opens the door for us. If we'll keep being teachable, the Lord opens the door for us. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Listen, and there's several more. You don't get it all at one time. Before you can have the joy, you got to have love. And before you can have the peace, you got to have joy and love. You see, as we grow in the Lord, we gain the love. And then we'll start getting the joy out of that love. And then we'll start getting the peace because we're having that joy and that love. And it'll go on down through the line. And it helps us out tremendously. So we've got freedom to be. To be what? What God wants us to be. We have that freedom to open up the door and listen. The Lord will bless you. He wants to bless you. We have the freedom to do spiritual principles, not rules and regulations. It's spiritual principles. Principles are the way we need to live. We have the freedom to grow, what, in Christ. That's what we have the freedom to do. See, my prayer is that myself and you guys will grow in the Lord. And mainly so that this church will grow and prosper and God will get the glory. That's what we need to be striving for in our lives. Is we need to be growing in the Lord. Because the more we grow in the Lord, the more this church will grow in the Lord. And that's what it's all about anyway. Jesus gave his life for the church. He shed his blood for the church. This is his bride. All these empty pews in here, the more we grow, the less empty pews will be. Because we'll be doing what the Lord wants us to do. More and more doors will be open. Let's all stand. We'll have an invitation. If you feel that the Lord has spoken to you in any way tonight, follow his guidance. Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening.